Today's scripture is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Send your word, O Lord, like the rain falling down upon the earth. Send your word, O Lord, like the rain falling down upon the earth.
It is really a shame that we don't get to know more about this man, Joseph, who raised Jesus, than we do. Church tradition fills in details about his age and his life, but the scriptures really only share three stories with us about Joseph outside of a few general stories that mention the parents of Jesus. All three Joseph stories have one thing in common: angels visiting him in a dream to guide his steps. The first visit is the one we heard just now. The second is a warning to take his family and flee to Egypt. And the third lets him know that it is safe to return to Israel. Each one of these angelic visits has the same result: an obedient, immediate response from Joseph to the life-changing guidance he has been given. Life-changing guidance in a dream. Let that sink in, if you would. Changing the direction of his life and his family's life based on a dream. Taking a wife who has turned up pregnant before the marriage has been consummated. Moving the entire family to another country and back again, based on dreams. Good old Joseph is all I can say to that. Good old Joseph. Joseph, the scriptures tell us, was a righteous man. And I have to admit, righteous in the scriptures is one of those words that I always have to think about every time it comes up, because in our culture, it's kind of taken on different connotations than what it usually means in scripture. Poet and essayist Kathleen Norris states that at its heart, righteous means one whose aim is true. In this case, Joseph was aiming to follow the law. But even before an angel visits him in a dream, Joseph has realized how difficult it is to aim true in the situation before him. The law was clear. Joseph must divorce Mary, as her circumstances plainly provide evidence that she has been unfaithful. Now, it's unusual to us to hear that they are engaged and yet a divorce is what is necessary, but in that day and time, Engagement was a legally binding agreement, only dissolved by death or divorce. So the law would state that Joseph must divorce Mary for her presumed unfaithfulness. But a divorce would be public, and the grounds for it would be as well. And that did not seem right to Joseph. So he had set his mind to do this as quietly as possible. I think that Joseph was still not happy with that answer. I think that is why the dream was enough for him to change course. The dream answered his questions and helped resolve the tension between what the law said and what his heart had already been trying to tell him. Righteousness, you see, is not just about following the law, but is also about following the heart of God. And this is a lesson that the Gospel of Matthew teaches over and over and over again if you will look through it. This story about Joseph, it's just the first in the lesson plan. Author, preacher, and theologian Frederick Buechner has a wonderful way of describing what righteous is by means of a wonderful analogy. Imagine a young piano student performing a piece of music. He performs the piece just as it is written. Every note is correct. Every rest and dynamic has been observed, but the piece falls flat. Buechner writes, "What he's playing is a sort of music, but nothing that will start voices singing or feet tapping. He has succeeded in boring everybody to death, including himself." In other words, while what he has played is correct, it is not right. It is missing the heart, the feeling behind the notes that are written on the page. If Joseph had divorced Mary under the law, he would have no doubt done what was correct. But it did not follow the heart of the law, particularly given that Mary's condition was not the result of human unfaithfulness, but of a divine overshadowing. That, of course, Joseph did not know until that angelic dream told him so. But even before then, Joseph knew something about the fact that a public, humiliating divorce that the law gave him the right to seek, he somehow knew that wasn't the proper response. Later in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus will tell his followers that they will never enter the kingdom of heaven unless their righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees. Now, when the people then heard that, when we hear that today, we might think that that means that we have to be even more of sticklers for the minutiae of the law than we know the scribes and the Pharisees to be. But remember again, the lesson that we begin to learn from this story of Joseph and the one that is all throughout the Gospels, righteousness is not just about the black and white of the law. It is about the gray of the situations in our lives and how the heart and the soul of the one who gave the law would have us respond to them. Buechner again says, the scribes and the Pharisees were playing it by the book. They didn't slip up on a single do or don't, but they were getting it all wrong. Righteousness is getting it all right. When you get it right, going back to his analogy of the piano student, when you get it right, when you play it the way it's supposed to be, everyone's foot will be tapping. Everyone will be singing along. Now, Joseph had the benefit of a dream to help him get it right, to help him to do the right thing. But he had to already have the right questions in his heart in order for that dream to present itself as vividly as it did, for it to be something that he awoke from and took action upon. We may not have angels visit us in our dreams the way that Joseph did, but they have their way of speaking to us just the same. We have to be open, however, to hearing what they have to say through the words of friends or strangers, in our hearing of the scriptures, in the stirrings of our hearts. We cannot be closed off and rigid about what we interpreted yesterday as right and wrong based on a hypothetical scenario when a real life situation presents itself to us in flesh and blood today. We must be open to hearing the whole story like Joseph was. We must find a way to honor both the law and the love of God that is behind it, like Joseph did. Good old Joseph. Righteous and just Joseph, who, upon naming Jesus, placed his lineage of David upon him. As this Advent season draws near its end, may we remember that true righteousness is like a piece of music played correctly and with heart that sets feet to tapping and gets voices singing of hope, peace, joy, and trust. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we know that Jesus told us that the law was not changed, not a stroke of it, by his coming. The things that he had to say to us and to teach us about it were so revolutionary. The law went deeper and wider than we had ever imagined. There were so many rules written, and yet there was so much more to it. Lord, we ask you to help us to understand and interpret your law through the lens of the great love that you have for us and the world. That we would look at those in front of us with your eyes. That we would hear them with your ears. And that we would respond in a just and righteous way to each and every one. And maybe throw in a little measure of that grace that you have given to us. In your Son's name we pray today. Amen.